Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If we really want to know more about Jesus, if we want to know more about our blessed Lord, we will have that fervent desire to acquire more and more knowledge about Jesus, our blessed Lord. Amen. And we will take great pleasure in acquiring additional knowledge. Amen. And learning more about him. It was Jesus who said in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." We need to learn as much about Christ as we can. Of course, it does not do us any good if we just learn and fill our heads with biblical knowledge. What we learn about Jesus should have an impact on our hearts, and it should reflect itself in the way we live our lives and in the way we relate to each other, especially as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We want to know more in the future, and we will know more in the future than we know now. But we don't have to wait to the distant future of eternity. We need to know more tomorrow than we did today. And that comes through diligent study of the Word of God. We call your attention this evening to a familiar passage, Romans 12, verse number 9. Romans 12, verse number 9. I will read verses 9 and 10. Romans 12, 9 and 10, but we're going to focus mainly on verse number 9. In discussing the proper conduct of love, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. This verse, verse number 9, describes the true character of true love. The word dissimulation means play acting. It is equivalent to hypocrisy. The exhortation of this verse is to have a love that is genuine, have a love that is authentic, have a love that is real, a love that is not hypocritical. There's a lot of hypocritical love around these days. Many who talk about love wear t-shirts about love, and you see bumper stickers on their cars about love, and who sing about love do not have real love in their hearts. This verse exposes their love as being hypocritical, because this verse gives two qualifying factors for love to be genuine and unhypocritical. Two qualifying factors. The first is they concern abhorrence of evil and affection for good. One of the things that has been going on this weekend that a lot of folks feel real good about, and the word love is bandied about in regard to this particular thing. It's happening yesterday, it's happening today. And I think that some of you, or maybe most of you, are aware of what it is. What is it, Brother Jones? What are folks so excited about? And what are folks so proud about. Y'all get the picture? This is Gay Pride Weekend. This is where the gays flaunt their perverted lifestyle. Now, some people, when they hear me say perverted lifestyle, they'll say, why are you hating on them? And this is just one example. They want you to believe, the LGBTQ crowd, they want you to believe that their lifestyle and their sexual preferences, their sexual orientation is just as normal as legitimate homosexual activity. I mean, heterosexual activity. And there might be some, even now, in this audience who might be feeling, Brother Jones, why are you hating? They have a right to live their lives the way they want to live their lives. And that's what they want to do. And they want to legitimize a perverted lifestyle. They want to have society place a stamp of approval on their aberrant behavior. God loves everybody. God loves the lesbian. God loves the homosexual. God loves the bisexual. God loves the transgendered folk. He loves the homosexual. But he does not love, he does not approve, he does not endorse the lifestyle that they have chosen to live in defiance of his will and his word. And I think we need to get it straight. And that might seem a little ironic, but when I say we need to get it straight, I'm saying we need to get the word of God with reference to these practices straight in our lives. We can love the LGBT folk, but we cannot endorse, we cannot approve, we cannot accept their perverted lifestyle. What disturbs me is the fact that taxpayer money is being spent in order to celebrate their aberrant lifestyle. You have the rainbow colors. They bought for the police department a police car that is colored with the rainbow colors, signifying gay pride. When the Supreme Court declared that same-sex marriage was legitimate and a right for citizens, on the same level that normal, God-designed heterosexual marriage, they festooned the White House in the rainbow colors, signifying that they were proud to endorse and to see the Supreme Court reach this decision of approving and claiming constitutional for gays to marry, for same-sex folk to marry. Now, this is a message that doesn't set well with many individuals in society. But the unfortunate thing is, this is a message that does not set well with many in the body of Christ. And I'm not hating. I'm just telling the truth. You shall know the truth, said Jesus, and the truth will make you free. Why are you picking on the LGBT crowd? I'm not picking on them. No more than I pick on the adulterers, no more than I pick on the thieves and murderers, the idolaters, the covetous, the envy, the gossipers. Sin is sin, and it needs to be identified as sin. Now, the day will come, it might be already here or close to it, when I would be condemned and maybe arrested for preaching what I'm preaching today. I would be in serious trouble, might be. But folks think, probably some of my brothers and sisters, Brother Jones, if you'd kept your big mouth closed, you wouldn't be arrested and taken to jail. So can't you just be quiet and not make a ruckus? Can't you just be quiet? Can't you hush up and not call attention to yourself and to the church? Just preach the gospel. Well, we have to preach the gospel, but in order to preach the gospel, we have to condemn sin and condemn evil. The word dissimulation, as we've indicated, means hypocrisy. But you look at the qualifying factors for authentic love to be practiced. You have to have abhorrence of evil. What does that word abhor mean? Abhor that which is evil. The word abhor really means to hate. It means to hate something. It is a very strong word and denotes a very strong attitude. Many will be surprised here about this aspect of love. For some people think erroneously that if you love, you cannot hate. They do not believe you can do both. You can't love and hate. It's true you cannot love and hate the same thing, but true love will hate evil. If you love truth, you will hate falsehood. If you love virtue, you will hate immorality. The psalmist says in Psalm 97 and verse 10, "You that love the Lord hate evil." And I want people to understand that I'm not just singling out homosexuality or the LGBT folk. The scriptures address all kinds of sin, all kinds of evil. Sometimes when a preacher takes a strong stand against some evil, many folk will criticize his strong stand by saying he lacks love. Yeah, why isn't he more loving? Why isn't he more sensitive to people? Well, because God mandates that evil be condemned, whether it's in my life, your life, or members of the LGBT crowd's life. Sin is sin regardless who practices it, and we cannot endorse it, we cannot approve it. We cannot legitimize it when it contradicts and goes against the grain of the teaching of God. Folks who say that you lack love because you condemn sin and evil, they are wrong, of course. He loves good and hates evil. They are the ones that lack love. They lack love for that which is good, or they will hate that which is evil. Now, the other factor involved in practicing authentic love is affection for good. Paul says it this way, cleave to that which is good. The word cleave means to be glued to something. When a man marries, based on God's pattern of marriage from the dawn of creation. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And they too shall be one flesh, shall be glued together, shall be stuck to, shall be cemented together as husband and wife. If you love the Lord, you will be glued to him in faithful fellowship and service. If you love your wife or husband, you will not be running around with someone else, but will be glued to your spouse in affection and loyalty. If you love truth, you will be glued to your Bible in study and devotion. If you love holiness, you will not be frequenting dens of iniquity, but will be glued to the church in faithful attendance and service. True love is loyal love. True love is attached firmly to that which is good and holy and pure and righteous. Check the condition of your love by measuring it by the ruler of this verse. As we close, I call your attention to a familiar passage, and I'll just read it for your consideration. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, there are some subjects, some themes that we are expected to tiptoe around like a Maltese cat on cotton, not wanting to disturb the status quo, not wanting to upset those who are wedded to certain evil practices. And y'all might think that this is too strong, that this is something we shouldn't even be talking about, but we do need to address it. We do need to address it because it will cause the souls of men to be lost. No matter how they celebrate and how they parade, that will not legitimize their practices. And for our enlightenment, we need to be reminded periodically that the whole LGBTQ group of individuals needs to be exposed for what they really are. And we need to do what we can to the degree that we can to share the gospel with them. They have the right. They have access to salvation. But in order to have access to salvation, they must give up the sinful practices of homosexuality. There were some folk in Corinth who practiced this lifestyle. Some people say, well, if you're homosexual, you always be a homosexual. Born a homosexual, you always be a homosexual. You'll die a homosexual. But that's not true. Amen. It wasn't true back then. It's not true now. The gospel has the power, if you will hear it and receive it, to transform your life. You say, Brother Jones, how do you know that? I know that because of what the Bible says. The Bible tells me so. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll be through. Verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, and this is talking about basically heterosexual practitioners of immorality, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. Then he comes down to the homosexuals, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now see, Paul doesn't really lash out at any of these individuals to the exclusion of others. He puts them all in the same category. He places them all in the same neighborhood. If you are an idolater, if you are an adulterer, if you are a thief, if you are a covetous person, and we have a lot of them in the church, if you are a drunkard, if you are an extortioner, then you're on the same level as the effeminate, the homosexual, the weaker, or the one who assumes in a male homosexual relationship, the one who assumes the position of the passive partner and abuses of themselves with mankind, those who identify as being the dominant partner in a homosexual relationships. But he says, these folk will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and such were some of you. Some of you were homosexuals, some of you were thieves, some of you were covetous, some of you were drunkards, some of you were revilers, some of you were extortioners, some of you were fornicators, idolaters. Such were some of you. But what a wonderful contrast. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. These folk repented. These folk altered their lifestyle. These people changed their lives. I don't know if you would, if some would like it better if I would try to say it real nice, if I try to find some way to say it in a manner that will not offend you or would not offend you. All I can do is just tell the truth. Amen. All I can do is just preach the gospel. Don't hate me because I'm telling the truth. I'm not a hater. I'm a lover of God and His will. I'm a lover of those who are lost. And we all need to have a compassionate attitude toward sinners to the degree that we'll share the gospel with them. Jesus died for the homosexual. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for the entire world. But repentance demands that you don't continue in your sin if you are to become a child of God. You have to undergo transformation. And the homosexual, just like anybody else, when he gains entrance into Christ, when he experiences the new birth, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you are here today, and if you stand the guilty distance from the Lord, no matter what the sin might be, God promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you might be healed. If you are here and want to rededicate your life to the Lord, if you are here and have a special prayer need or prayer request, we encourage you to make it known right now as we together stand and as we sing.